Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in. Big 10 o'clock hour here with Dom on Talk Radio 1210. And we welcome back to Philadelphia the one and only Brad Thor. And we are just a short period of time away from the next in the continuing Scott Harvett series, Brad's new book, Backlash. And Brad, I've been reading with listeners chapter 15 for a reason here, the beginning of chapter 15, when you have Harvett in this frigid Russian winter. Well, it's always that there. Talking about
Navy, you're out.
Yeah, talking about Navy SEALs. Talking about experiencing too much cold and how many Navy SEALs moved to warm climates once they left the service. By then, they've had more cold than most people do in a lifetime. And I've been using that as a little vignette to kind of underline, people know you're a great thrower writer and you can develop a character, certainly Harvett, but it's also your connection with being authentic with the military, what they go through. Talk about that a little bit when you research a book. What do you call upon to get it right?
Well, I call what I do, Dom, faction, where you don't know where the facts end and the fiction begins. I want people, first and foremost, to have a great thrill ride. That's what I'm in the job of.
Right.
White-knuckle ride, short cinematic chapters. People give my books to family members who don't like to read, and suddenly the books turn them into readers. That's my goal, number one, is to entertain. But number two, I want to make sure I get the details right. So I've got great relationships in particularly the special operations community, and I want to reflect what they do and how they train, how they run their operations, all this kind of stuff. I want to take readers right up to the edge of the property line and let them peek into that world, like look over the hedgerow and see what it's like to be a SEAL or a Delta Force person or somebody who's doing covert ops for the CIA. That's the fun. That's what I grew up reading, Clancy and Le Carre and Freddie Forsyth, and I always appreciated the attention to detail. Now, some of the Clancy stuff, God rest his soul, I didn't need 50 pages on how a guidance system for a missile worked. You know, the good guys lays the target and the missile hits, that's all I need to know. I don't need 50 pages on gyroscopes and stuff like that. So Elmore Leonard once said, if you want to write great books, leave out the parts that people skip. So that's what I try to do.
Well, that's very, very good. Talk to listeners a little bit, Brad, about your writing process. I mean, are you're picturing these things in advance? Do you slave over this? I mean, what's your inspiration? What's your muse? How do you get that?
Well, it's funny. I just got back from Key West. I'd never been down to Key West before, and I went to Hemingway's house, which one of the funny things about Hemingway's house is that they do weddings there. And one of the tour guides said, you would think people would want to get married someplace else other than the home of a guy who had four wives.
Yes.
But I got to see Hemingway's office, and there was a neat plaque that said Hemingway would get up and be in the office by 6 a.m. until noon every day and write 500 to 700 words a day. And I thought, what a piker. Only 5 to 700? I try to get 2,500 done a day, but my books are longer than his. So I'm a husband. I'm a father. I like to get my kids off to school. I will work out in the morning, have breakfast with the kids, get them to school. And then I treat my career like a 9 to 5 job. I'm in at 8, and I leave at 6. It's not just 9 to 5. Some days the words come in just, it's like a thunderstorm. They just come raining down, and it's fantastic. And there's other days it's like pulling teeth. And Jack London once said that you can't wait for inspiration. You have to go after it with a club. So I write a book a year. My goal is, I work for the readers, as we've said when you and I have been together in front of audiences before. The readers are my bosses. And those reviews they leave on Amazon and Goodreads and BarnesandNoble.com, that's my annual performance review. So I need them to say, he did even better this year than last year. So you know, I work my butt off, and as I get close to deadline, sometimes my 9 to 5, 8 to 6 goes to midnight. Sometimes I work Saturdays and Sundays. But it's because I want my customers to have the absolute best I'm capable of.
Well, based upon the quantity and the quality, you're at about 15 million books plus. Listeners know I talked to Bill O'Reilly also. I'm amazed. Anybody might, well, not anybody. It takes greatness to sell one book that's a bestseller. You might be able to do that. But to your point, to continue to do that, that's where you really know you've struck a chord. And I think the main character development, Scott Harvath, talk about in this book, what aspect are we seeing of him in Backlash?
Well, I tell people that this is like, this is a very simplistic view, but like an American James Bond. And you can go see the new James Bond movie never having seen one before. And so that's how I set up my books, that even though you get the same repeat character, you can jump in at any point. You can read Backlash never having read one of my books before. But in this book, I wanted to do something I'd never done before, which was my guy gets taken captive. The thing that we do where we put bags over people's heads and drag them to black sites or reuse to do, air quotes, that this happens to him, that a hostile foreign power grabs him on American soil. That's an act of war if it can be proven. But he's so valuable to them that they're willing to risk everything to drag him back to their own version of a black site. And he gets one shot at escape. The plane he's being transported on crashes. And that's his one chance out. And I've always been fascinated, Dom, with the training our soldiers and intel operatives get on how to escape, evade, resist capture, all of these things they're taught to survive behind enemy lines, so to speak, in a hostile territory. And I wanted to apply this to my main character. What would he do not only to get out, but what would happen? What kind of machinery gets kicked in the United States if we lose a guy like this? And that was the fascinating part of my research, is to see what gets mobilized. And I put it in the book. There's something called the Special Presidential Envoy for Hostage Affairs. And they have a war room at the FBI where members of Treasury and the NSA and all these people sit together in one room with all these desks so that they can share information. And they decide, can we ransom the – not ransom. We don't pay ransom. But what can we do to apply pressure on the captors while we're looking at possibly sending in a SEAL team or Delta Force to get them out? And that was some of the coolest stuff I was able to weave into Backlash.
We're talking with Brad Thor, of course, the author of the new book coming out on the 25th. We have him in Westchester with us on the 27th. You get the full interview, loves listener questions, and autographs your book. So why not join us by going to the website, our website, 1210wpht.com/speaker series. It's easy to do. Now, I was thinking about this book, particularly with the Russians, the Soviets, and Chernobyl. And you begin the book by talking about, even though Russia looks to be a powerhouse, a lot of the infrastructure, the machinery, the plane, you use some indelicate terms here in describing it that I can't say on air. And I was thinking of Chernobyl and this type of insight. So there's insight toward the Russians here, their line of thinking. They're a great power at times, but internally, they're not so good.
No, they're not. And it's set in current day. And what's interesting is, as you and I are talking about this, there was an article, I think, last week that the Chernobyl series has done so well.
Yes.
It's freaked the Russians out. They are actually going to put together their own series that says it was the CIA that blew the reactor. I mean, they're nuts. They're absolutely nuts, but they really are fearful of the propaganda war, and they really don't want people to know the true story about Chernobyl. So they're going to put out kind of a counter narrative, and it's fascinating that it's rattled them so much. But Russia is pretty messed up, and I talk with diplomats that have dealt with them. I've talked with guys that have had to operate in Russia covertly, and I got a lot of good insights that I wove into the story. So I thought I knew Russia pretty well and how bad it was. I didn't know it before writing this book, how truly terrible some of the stuff is. And I identify it in Backlash. Again, thriller, take it to the beach, take it to the pool. But I think you'll have a lot of fun with what you learn in there, along with the great white knuckle thrill ride.
You seem to, Brad, like it. I've seen people now say, well, I know it's summer. I'm looking at your Twitter feed. The Brad Thor book is almost here. And then they say, yes, but I consume it in one day. All that work, that whole year, and bang, is consumed in one day.
My wife reminds me of that all the time. When I'm kind of like the old Dunkin' Donuts commercial, like I'll get up in the morning, time to make the donuts, and my wife will smile and say, remember how many people you are entertaining, how many people you are making happy. And I love the character. I love what I do for a living. And I'm constantly told by people, you know, the only problem with you, Thor, is you don't write fast enough. We need more books a year than just one. But I won't hire a secondary writer and put my name big on the top and the real author on the bottom. I can't control the quality, and it's just I have an unspoken bond with my bosses, the readers, that they're always going to get it from me, and it's always going to be the best that I'm capable of giving.
Well, one book a year is a lot. I don't know how many prominent authors. I mean, there are dry spells, you know, Faulkner, Hemingway. I don't think they did a book a year.
No, and it's funny because when I was down at Key West at Hemingway's house, I didn't know that when Hemingway was my age, my wife didn't like the story. Hemingway was married to Mary Walsh, and Hemingway at 49 fell in love with a 19-year-old Italian countess in Venice. She became his muse, and he wrote his worst book and his greatest book while he was in love with this young woman. He was on his fourth wife, and he said, I would propose to you if I knew you wouldn't say no. She would have been number five, but she wouldn't marry him. And because of her inspiration, he wrote The Old Man and the Sea, but he hadn't written anything for 12 years. So
12 years? My goodness.
12 years. And so one of the early reviews for Backlash said, at this point in their careers, Ludlum, Clancy, they were on a downward slide. They'd already peaked, but not Thor. Thor keeps getting better every single time. It's been a great set of reviews we've seen for Backlash, and I'm really excited to get it in the hands of readers.
A parting area for you, too. Listeners should know that Brad Thor has been called upon by various intelligence groups at times to kind of think outside the box, to counter our enemies. I see the Chinese, obviously, to me, is the biggest world threat right now. Have you thought about writing anything about Scott Harvath and the Chinese? And do you see them as the biggest threat?
Well, I see China as a threat. I see the Russians as an ongoing threat. The Iranians continue to be a problem. So it's, you know, I don't think we're in jeopardy of peace suddenly breaking out.
But Brad, how close do you see the Iranians to? I don't remember. Have you written a book in which they're racing toward getting the reactor, the nuclear reactor, going?
No. Okay. I haven't done that, but I have done a book about my book, Act of War,
right,
was about the Chinese funneling things through North Korea to actually do something that would take down certain defenses here in the United States. So I've been looking at the Chinese for a long time, and they are a group that we need to be very, very concerned with, and I'm glad to see the Huawei stuff and the 5G being pushed back against, because we definitely don't want to be slaves to Chinese technology, because that's the death knell.
Absolutely right. So are you on to other ideas and other books that you're already on the storyboard, ready to go?
You must be able to hear my wife popping champagne corks, because I started the new book early. The 2020 book I'm already into, which is very uncharacteristic for me. I'm normally, it doesn't start writing until the end of the summer when I'm off book tour. But yes, I've started a new book early, and hopefully that means I won't be working Saturdays and Sundays in the run-up to my deadline this year.
Well, I told listeners, I do speaker series, and other than Nick Foles, you got to understand, this was a magical moment last year. You are right there as the quintessential interview, and it's because how giving you are to the audience and how much you take us inside Brad Thor's world and this character that you've created that is so much in demand. So, again, June 27th, we have you back in town, third time around, and it'll be even better with Backlash. And, again, we take a lot of listener questions. That's what your fans want, and they're my boss also, my fans and your fans. That's what we're going to do. My wife does not come to any speaker series, the politics and all that. You know, she's a little bit, but for you, we're coming back from the shore to do that, and she wants to be there. So I can't do any better than that.
No, it's terrific. To have Mrs. G there is the cherry on top of the sundae. And the audience, we have so much fun, Dom. We talk about everything. We laugh. We actually get some great insights. And it's one of my favorite events every year that we can do together, because it's such a good time. I mean, it's really, you know, we spend a couple hours, and I think everybody leaves feeling like, you know what, this was worth it coming out for this. We all had a blast.
Well, Brad, thank you. We'll see you in just a matter of about 10 days, a week or so from that, here in Westchester. Thanks very much. Congratulations. And I know people are just saying the 25th can't come quickly enough.
You've got it. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to seeing you and all of your listeners on the 27th.
Thank you very much. Brad Thor here with us on Talk Radio 1210. And again, Roe doesn't come to other speaker series. Nick Foles was the only one, and Brad Thor. I do hope that you'll join us. You will love speaker series. Particularly, Brad gives listeners everything he has, and it's a lot of fun to talk about these characters, to talk a thriller for a change in the summer. Get your tickets now, though. Go to our website, 1210wpht.com/speaker series. 1210wpht.com/speaker series. You get the book. It's signed by Brad Thor. You get the night. You will love it. 1210wpht.com/speaker series.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.